Good morning, this is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the H1 2016 financial results for Hera Group. All participants are in listen-only mode, and following the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. For assistance from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Tommaso Tommasi Di Vignano, Hera Group's Executive Chairman. Mr. Tommaso Di Vignano, you have the floor. Good afternoon. We are here with our usual team, and we recently concluded the Hera Group Board of Directors meeting for the approval of our H1 financial results. So we are speaking to you from Tuscany, since our board meeting was held in Tuscany, in fact, today, so that our board members could get to know the new company which joined our perimeter as of January 1st, namely Waste Recycling, a waste company operating for the most part in the industrial waste sector. Therefore, we all traveled to get to know this new company of ours. I think that we are quite satisfied with the first half of the year. And as you'll be able to see, we were able to overcome the concerns which some changes in the regulatory framework, which we were aware of, had brought about. And therefore, we had to deal with these issues with a certain enthusiasm as a way of overcoming all of the negative regulatory changes vis-a-vis growth. And once again, our soundness shown through, because as you can see, we have been able to post positive results, and the same can be said for the evolution of our balance sheet. Meaning that the growth in EBITDA is a further growth that you are perfectly aware of. And we were able to overcome some of the elements in the context which emerged through the first half of the year, which will probably last throughout 2016. The growth was mainly due to our operations growth, especially a growth in terms of efficiency. And this was a growth which we were able to post all the way down to the bottom line. Our H1 results also posted a growth vis-a-vis Q1 and also year-on-year, despite the cuts in the tariffs in the regulated businesses. These results are, in fact, the outcome of the group's organic governance, and they also stem, as we'll be seeing, from the contribution brought about by the M&A transactions, which happened at the very beginning of 2016, or rather between the end of 2015 and early 2016, and their contribution to the results started happening as of January this year. We were able to further improve our financial soundness, also vis-a-vis our debt, with a reduction in debt, as a matter of fact, equal to 27 million euros, with a total which is now equal to 2,624,000,000 euros. Our revenues had dipped slightly due to the drop in energy prices, due to the expiry of certain incentives such as the CIP6 and certificates. Furthermore, we also had the effect stemming from the cut in WACC, which I also mentioned, which happened as of January 1st on the three regulated sectors in our networks businesses. Our EBITDA grew by 2.4%, with an EBITDA margin which is up above 20%. And that, too, is a comforting and positive element. Our provisions increased with the increase of our perimeter, which is something that we will be going back to later. which were able to also offset the lower accruals in the same amount of time. Our financial governance highlights a decrease in costs, which is in line with the previous quarters, and it brings about further stability to the figures stemming from our joint ventures, which contributes to our financial soundness. As far as taxes are concerned, our tax rate is at 35.7%. Given the effects of a number of further optimizations vis-a-vis 37.2% in the previous period, and the growth in net profit post-minorities is close to 13%, 12.8% to be precise. These are the fundamental components of our results, both in terms of the negative elements, namely the WACC cut and the correction made to certificates, as I mentioned. 14 million euros, as you can see on page 3 of our report. 14.6 million is the effect of organic growth, and a further 9 million stemming from the M&A operations, two of which are the more well-known ones, which happened at the beginning of the year in the waste sector, and a further transaction which happened in the month of March, thanks to the acquisition of a company in the energy customers field, also in the Adriatic region, which brought about a further 15,000 customers thanks to this new acquisition. These were the fundamental elements in our P&L account, and I'd like to give the floor to Stefano to give you a business-by-business breakdown in terms of how they contributed to the results. Thank you and good afternoon. As usual, we can begin with the waste business, in which we posted 116.5 million euro results vis-a-vis the 119.8 results posted last year, with a reduction equal to some 3.3 million euros, which is pretty much in line with what we saw at the end of Q1, in which we had posted a 2.5 million euro contraction. As I was saying, the already mentioned impact of the cost of electricity and the expire of certain incentives had an impact, plus the review of green certificate prices, for a total in the quarter of 9.3 million euros. This was almost fully offset by the effect of the contribution of the acquisitions we made at the end of last year, which you may remember, one of which is actually hosting us today, Waste Recycling, which was the most important acquisition we made from the strategic point of view as well. To these results, we also have the contribution of a progressive bounce back and the market values, which is equal to 4.2 million euros vis-a-vis the same quarter last year, which goes to show that not only have we had a recovery and the volumes managed, but also in terms of the overall prices. And I would also like to add that this is a pretty general trend in the first six or seven categories of treated waste. We have seen an increase in all of these sectors ranging from 1 to 4 euros per ton. And as we had already mentioned during Q1, we continue to have a shortcomings in the availability of landfills, which we feel we will be able to overcome beginning in the month of August, namely through the Ravenna landfill, which had an impact equal to 6.8 million euros in terms of lower volumes managed. But again, we feel that this also led to missed market opportunities. And this is all the more true if we look at the waste destination from which we can gather that compared to 2 or 3 years ago, the contribution of landfills, which used to be equal to 18%, equal to 560,000 tons, dropped down to 371,000 tons in 2016, minus 11%. This is the figure which actually reflects the situation I described, which isn't what we expect for the second half of the year, nor for the years ahead. I was mentioning the excellent contribution made by the companies we acquired, specifically Waste Recycling and Geonova, offered the opportunity to manage over 280,000 tons, which allowed us to post an increase in the total amount of volumes managed. And as far as the waste collection services are concerned, we continued in our efficiency activities, which in 2015 had allowed us to improve our results by 2.5 million, with a similar figure even in H1 2016. With a positive contribution, therefore, to the overall results in the area. Moving on to page 5, and to networks and regulated services. In this case, we have been able to post an increase in our result equal to 3.8 million euros, up to 216.4 million. Which is partly due to the initiatives that we launched in terms of increasing efficiency, but also, which is something that other operators started doing already in 2015, we decided to realign the time lag in returns for electricity distribution, to realign them to when the actual costs were made. So therefore, we were able to realign the time lag. This is a very technical element in terms of realigning this specific criterion, which allowed us to make a recovery on the previous 4 years, which accounts for roughly 13 million euros. And if you add a further 3 to 4 million euros in terms of efficiency, this allows us to have an improvement equal to 16.3 million, which has completely offset the 12.5 million, which is due to the WACC cut. Another obvious element, which you can see in the lower graph on page 5, and as of July 1st, we also began with the Inrete company, which manages our energy services, specifically gas distribution and energy distribution, and electricity distribution, excuse me, and take into account that we also transferred an equivalent RAB equal to 1.5 billion and an amount of resources which is above 600 to 700 units. Everything proceeded well, and this is something that we are especially proud of. And one last element is the fact that I can confirm that as far as water management is concerned, we sent in our report for the quality of service, which was accepted by the local authority, which was then forwarded to the central authority, to the GSI, for the final approval. As usual, I also want to focus on the EBITDA breakdown, which is a typical question of yours for H1 2016 for the various businesses. Gas distribution out of the total 216.4 million accounts for 72 million. Electricity accounts for 29 million. Water accounts for 106.5 million. And the remaining part is equal to district heating, namely 9 to 9.5 million. And finally, let me move on to energy, the liberalized part of the market. This quarter also shows how positive this area was, and it obviously gave a major contribution to fully offset the WACC cut and the other effects we posted in the waste sector. with an increase in the performances, which I mentioned earlier, equal to 11.2 million euros. That is the organic growth, which stems for the most part from the electricity activities, both in terms of power gen and as far as our commercial activities to end users. And 0.4 is a contribution from M&A, which stems from the Giulia Servizi Più acquisition, which we made beginning in April this year. We are close to the 2.3 million euro threshold with an increase in our customer base. With the acquisition of Giulia Più, we now rank third in the players on the Adriatic coast in the Marche and Abruzzo regions. And over the years, we grew from having a few thousand customers to the current figures. Obviously, the price dynamics in electricity and gas had an impact on profit and also on certain activities, such as gas trading, which weren't able to post the same performances we had in 2015. Nevertheless, PowerGen was able to make a significant contribution, both with ancillary services, which is worth some 6 to 7 million euros, but also in terms of production, due to the effects of a number of positions in delivery in 2016, which we had taken at the end of last year. Unfortunately, the results at the end of Q1 could have been even better had we not had a mild winter, which accounted for a decrease in 30 million cubic meters in sales, which is what we had last year. So the overall result is worth 128.6 million, which is the overall result for the supply side, which confirms a position within our portfolio, bringing it slightly above the contribution made by the waste sector. Luca, you have the floor. Good afternoon. We had another very positive quarter in terms of the generation of cash. We closed the first half of the year with cash flows worth over 180 million euros, almost 50 million euros more compared to last year, thanks to the contribution brought about by operational levers, but also by the working capital. This allowed us to fully cover our investments worth 152 million euros, which compared to last year are equal to a further 9%, and to have enough cash to be able to fully cover the dividends worth 144 million euros, which was paid in the month of June, and to also allow us to reduce our financial indebtedness down to 2.624 billion compared to the 2.652 billion euros at the end of last year. All of this was made possible thanks to constant efficiency and the careful attention paid not only to the free cash flow, but also to the cost of debt, which was further reduced by a few basis points down a further 3.7%. And as we already mentioned, we also had the optimization of our tax rate, which also contributed to our cash flow. Very good performance from the financial standpoint, therefore, with the debt-to-EBITDA ratio, which is down to 2.93 times as of June 30th compared to 3 times last year. Therefore, even in terms of financial metrics, this mirrors the excellent work conducted in recent times. Which brings us to our conclusions. Ben, I'm sure that you share our view that the first half of the year was good. We had a growth in EBITDA, which was fairly good, despite the 21 million negative effects which we were able to reabsorb thanks to our work. And before I conclude, let me give you a further element. Besides the results which we posted and which we illustrated, we can also mention that the intense activities that we focused on together with our CEO in recent months, working on a number of operations, as you also heard, and also continuing in our scouting activities to look for possible M&A opportunities, both through acquisitions and through possible mergers with multi-utilities in the surrounding areas. And I think it's now safe to say that the time and efforts invested so far, which we mentioned time and time again, allows me to say that we have now set up a number of contacts which will turn into results which will have an impact on our P&L through a number of operations, which should be happening between the last quarter of this year for the initial operations and the first half of next year. And this is the way we will also be distributing our time and efforts. And therefore, our goal is to complete the five opportunities that we are looking at, which we are currently negotiating on. And some of these negotiations are actually exclusive negotiations. Therefore, as you can see, this is a goal that we have referred to a number of times in the past. This was something that we were working on, and again, it's now safe to say that we now have a potential we can look into as far as the impact on our future EBITDA will be. And as I said, we will be focusing on both acquisitions and mergers. And the impact on EBITDA will be in line with the forecast we made in our business plan, which means that were we to be able to complete all of these negotiations, we will be able to slightly exceed what we had included in our business plan forecast. And furthermore, without being overly optimistic, just by focusing on the state of the art, we would not only be in line with our current business plan, but we would also be slightly ahead in our schedule in terms of how we intended to tackle this aspect. Therefore, I'm sure that this is an answer to some of your questions that you've had for some time. And over time, we will make the announcements in the typical way. And as I said, these transactions will happen probably in the coming 10 months. Some will happen immediately, and other operations will be completed over time. Therefore, we are moving ahead both from the organic side and in terms of broadening our perimeter, and we are continuing as we should. And now I'll leave the floor to you to ask you if you have any questions. This is the Chorus Call operator. We can now begin our Q&A session. For any questions you may have, press star followed by 1 on your telephones. To leave the questions list, press star followed by 2. And please ask by using your telephones, and please speak slowly and clearly to facilitate translation. For any questions you may have, you can now press star followed by one. The first question is from the Italian conference call, Javier Suarez, Mediobanca. Good afternoon. I have a few questions for you. The first is related to the executive chairman's last statement on the announcement he made when he said that you are working on five opportunities that you have very clear in the mind, and you were saying that these opportunities may be completed between the end of this year and early 2017, if I understood correctly. So you're saying that you have five negotiations that can be completed in the near future. Can you give us some further details on how these transactions can be financed? And with the cost of debt, which is especially low, perhaps you can have a larger cash component for these deals, which may be an advantage. Do you agree with this view? And then I have a second question on the cash flow statement. I saw that you have the positive contribution from working capital equal to $41 million. Can you help us understand why that is and what you expect for the end of the year? And then as far as the networks are concerned, on slide 5, you were mentioning various initiatives as a way of offsetting the cut in the WACC. Can you tell us what these initiatives are? And then a final question on the fact that you were mentioning the positive trends in the waste business, both in terms of demand and in terms of prices. Can you be a little bit more specific in these underlying trends that you are seeing? Beginning with your last question on the underlying trends and prices, let me give you some very practical examples. As you know, in the management of special waste, we have three or four major categories. So dry waste, which can be sent to both the landfills and to waste to energy plants, and you have the humid wastes, which are sent into biodigestion processes and which bring about compost, and then we have hazardous waste. These are three macro categories. What we're seeing now is that as far as dry waste is concerned, there has been an increase in price somewhere between 4 and 5% vis-a-vis the average price in H1 2015. As far as humid waste is concerned, the increase has been in the range of 1 to 1.5%. Hazardous waste is up 1 to 1.5%. All of these changes in percentages bring about a change in prices, which range from 2 to 3 euros and 4 to 5 euros per ton. This is the picture we're seeing today, which is nothing extraordinary, because if you look back in time, we're simply going back to a price range similar to the ones we had in 2010 and 2012. We had a major dip, which peaked in 2014, and now we are having a bounce back over time. As far as the tangible initiatives to increase efficiency or to cut costs are concerned, the things we're doing on the regulated side of things, these are the things we mentioned in the business plan for the most part. We are continuing along those lines. Just to give you a few examples, as far as the water cycle is concerned, we are focusing on issues such as increasing energy efficiency to optimize maintenance and to plan and standardize maintenance activities in terms of materials used and actions. As far as waste collection is concerned, we are working to optimize the collection cycles as a way of optimizing waste flows and as a way of optimizing our vehicles also thanks to the fact that last year, after 2.5 years efforts, we have started a platform called Ergo Ambiente, through which we were able to digitalize our waste collection services. We're now able to map and geolocalize every waste collection box in the territory, every single vehicle in the territory, and every use of the system, which means that together with the quantitative side of things, we're able to optimize workloads, routes, and the use of vehicles with an obvious effect on saving on fuel and on the use of vehicles. These are just two tangible examples of initiatives which make a contribution. This isn't a contribution worth dozens of million euros per year, but each of these examples allow us to save 0.5 million, 0.8 million, and each piece allows us to reach an objective, which is what we achieved last year, for instance, with a savings worth 24 million euros, which is a target we also have for this year, which is the fourth year in a row for our cost rationalization process, which we started 4 years ago. As far as cash flows are concerned, I'll give the floor to Luca for some specific answers. Beginning with the second part of your question on our forecasts. Our view is that we will be closing the year with PFN, which is in line with the figures we had in 2015. As we were also able to see in the Q1, we're also seeing a very good trend as far as the free cash flow is concerned, thanks to all of the actions that we worked on, especially in managing credits, all of which are bringing about good results. This is something that we are seeing in all of the business segments, segments in which we have been constantly monitoring all of the phases of the process, from origination to managing our customers and our portfolio and recovery, which is now fully automated and with increased efficiency, both in terms of cost and time. This is obviously bringing about some positive effects, both in terms of cash, which means that we were able to decrease the time needed to cash in. Therefore, we have positive cash flows, and also in terms of risk, because we were able to decrease the portfolio risk. And this is the positive effect that we are that we have been appreciating for quite some time, and which is also obviously mirrored in the first half of the year's free cash flow. Therefore, this is an industrial improvement in the working capital. It isn't a one-off that you expect to reabsorb. This is an improvement that you expect to be permanent. It is a stable effect, which we feel should be structural. Going back to your remarks on M&A, I believe the summary you made coincides with the remarks I made. Just to be a little bit more specific, as far as the time frame I was referring to, the time which elapses between tomorrow and the end of the year and the beginning of 2017. These are all negotiations which have been started in a positive way. So this was the first remark I wanted to make. Your second point concerning cash, there will certainly be instances in which the transactions will be concluded through cash entirely, because among the projects I mentioned, we have some projects which refer to the production chain, one of which is very important in the waste sector, which will require the use of cash. These are free market negotiations with private counterparts wishing to cash in on the transaction, and therefore we'll have to use our cash. There are other instances which are more typically related to the multi-utility sector. Those transactions are more focused on share swaps. There may be, of course, a cash portion, but that would typically be a minor part of the transaction. And this is just a description of two sectors which are nothing new, as a matter of fact. If you look at the business plan presentation, that was the same paradigm that we announced, and it's the same paradigm that we are focusing on. You mentioned at the very end that perhaps it would be a good idea for us to add some further transactions. But I think that there are two positive things to be said. The first refers to the issue of credibility. We aren't used to announcing random figures. We mentioned our estimate concerning the number of transactions that the market could offer for the business plan years. After a year, we completed two or three transactions, and we're currently able to say that we feel confident we'll be able to meet our business plan goals before 2019, as we had forecasted in the business plan. So this is the second major novelty. But just like every other time, you typically ask questions on the effects of M&A and the business plan to be factored in. Allow me to mention the fact that whenever we make these announcements, we then also complete them. So I think that you should take our business plan forecast seriously. There is credibility in terms of meeting those goals. And therefore, given the fact that we have a very intense program, I don't even want to go into the last 2 years of the business plan. In January, we'll be illustrating our new business plan, and we'll be seeing how we'll be able to spread both the completed transactions and our further forecasts. The next question is by Enrico Bartoli, Main First. Good afternoon. I also have some questions for you. The first refers to the water sector. You mentioned that the tariff proposals are currently in the approval phase. Can you give us some further details in terms of timing and a specific indication on the contribution of tariff increases in the second half of the year? Should we expect the new tariffs to be able to offset the WACC cut in the second half of the year? A second question on waste. You were mentioning the fact that the Ravenna landfill should be operational in the coming months. Can you give us some further details on how you expect to reopen the currently closed landfills? And also, as far as waste is concerned, can this recovery bring about a further recovery in H2 in terms of the EBITDA gap which exists? And finally, can you give us an update on your views, on your feelings in terms of the regulatory frameworks, the implementation decrees on the Madea decree? Can they have an impact on the M&A sector in general? As far as the water tariffs are concerned, as per schedule, at the end of April and early May, we sent in our tariff proposals. Yesterday, our regional, the Emilia-Romagna Regional Council met to assess the tariffs, and they will now be uploaded on the authority's site. And the authority should be approving them definitely in the month of August. These tariff proposals are pretty much defined. They already were with the decision made at the end of last year by the authority, and therefore the first half of the year reflects the tariff impact that we expected from these new tariff proposals. Unless there were to be a review, which would be equal to a 1 million euro, there weren't very many other aspects to define. Therefore, the first half of the year already applied these new tariffs beginning in January 1st, 2016, both on the negative side, which refers to the WAC, and the positive side as well. As I was mentioning, the news is the quality of service, which is a report that we drafted and sent in. We adhered to a performance instance without the extra QC costs. We are already capable of offering service levels which are very much above the ones defined by the authority, and we had a debate with the local authority. The local authority's position was, well, if you already outdo our standards, we shouldn't have to reward you. I think that sometimes it's a matter of a bizarre or naive interpretations, but having said that, we will have the first partial application in 2016, which in terms of euros is worth a few million euros, and then we will have a progressively broader application beginning in 2017. 2016 is somewhat an experiment, but I think that there aren't very many distances on the quality of services, very many instances as far as quality of services are concerned, sent into the authority. As far as the impact of the cut and whack is concerned, it's a little difficult to say, specifically as far as the water cycle is concerned. Also because you have to take into account that the impact of whack on water is worth over 50 million euros as far as we're concerned. Plus, last year, we had some items referring to the recovery of certain recoveries which date back to other tariff schemes. And therefore, in general terms, in the networks sectors, we are breaking even. Thanks to the 13 million euro contribution, which we won't have in H2, therefore our contraction shouldn't be above 8 to 10 million euros, which is less than half compared to the 25 million euro WAC impact, just to give you a clear picture. As far as the question on the Ravenna landfill is concerned, we performed the tests. We're waiting for the final visit from the authorities so that we can have the authorization to be able to use the landfill. Hopefully this will be happening in the next few days before the summer holidays. And as far as the Madia decree is concerned, the part of the decree which was approved and published today on joint ventures is something that we are less interested in. The one that we are more interested in is the one concerning the redefinition of a local public services, within which there are the important provisions concerning voice services equal to network services with and a number of other provisions included therein, which we hope will be able to approve as soon as possible, because we do hope that the authority will be able to work in the waste sector. We know how important it would be. The next question is by Stefano Gamberini, Equita Fin. Good afternoon. Concerning M&A, the five acquisitions you mentioned, you're mentioning that your target is worth 112 million euros in terms of EBITDA, a further 112 million euros in terms of EBITDA. Is this the size of the acquisitions you're looking at? Or should we subtract the 10 to 20 million euros of the already completed acquisitions. My second question concerns the EBITDA on electricity sales, and I have a breakdown also for gas sales. Can you help us understand the contraction you had in trading? And since you already signed the contracts for 2017, what should we expect in terms of margins in 2017, both for gas and for power gen? Another question refers to the 9.3 million euro negative effects of energy prices and CIP6. Should we expect the same negative impact in the second half of the year? Or do you think there are some seasonal elements, the loss of incentives which happened in 2015, for instance, and therefore the impact on 2016 should be lower? And a final question on the entire year. Your debt level at 2.6 billion, will it actually be reduced thanks to working capital? And therefore, will we have an improvement worth 40 to 50 million euros in working capital? Will have an impact on the overall year? And as far as your EBITDA target is concerned, do you expect to post a flat EBITDA compared to 2015? And do you have any further elements after H1 which could lead you to change your minds? Mr. Gambarini's memory is excellent. In fact, our business plan mentioned a contribution at the end of the business plan worth 112 million euros. In terms of EBITDA, obviously, as of today, we mentioned both in quantity and quality what the operations we're looking at are. My reference as to what they may be worth in terms of impact, adding the ones in the specific businesses to the multi-utilities, is in line with the figure you're mentioning, if not slightly above the one you mentioned. Plus, you also have to take into account that with the caution that we look at these figures with, since we still didn't have an idea of how these targets would be distributed over time, we had made no forecast on the synergies which we can extract from all of these projects. Meaning that for the time being, our forecast is 112 million euros plus a few more million, but we also have to then understand the important synergies which we can extract from these transactions. Plus, the dilution over time is obviously linked to some negotiations which may be more complex, and others which may be easier. Because especially when it comes to the single business acquisitions, our counterparts are typically private owners, and therefore negotiations can be simpler. Obviously, we can't say we'll be able to complete everything overnight. Some of the negotiations are more advanced, others less, but the negotiations are all ongoing. So these are the general figures, which I don't think we will be moving very much from. And then, as far as the years following 2017 are concerned, we'll see. We already made three transactions, three acquisitions last year, which aren't factored in to these figures because we're currently looking at the current state of affairs. You were mentioning the contraction in gas trading. In recent months, we had a price on the PSV worth 15 to 16 cents per cubic meter and a spread on TFF, which is below 3 euro cents. There is no possibility to trade between the northern European prices and southern European prices, which was a condition we had last year. And the same goes for stock gas. if we don't bring down physical gas from North Europe due to the absence of a spread, the capacity we have on the tag cannot be fulfilled. But of course, we still have to pay for the capacity because the 0.5 billion capacity we have is worth what it's worth. Therefore, on the one hand, we cannot post the margin we expected by trading between the positions of the two basins, and we can't even use the physical capacity to bring down gas to the capacity we have, which means that on the one hand, we had a few opportunities less, and on the other, it also gave the entire burden to the trading unit, which brought about a contraction worth that 3 to 3.5 million euros vis-a-vis the previous year. As far as 2017 is concerned, we completed our positions for a significant part of the supply vis-a-vis the current contracts, which will be expiring in September. The negotiation was satisfactory. It wasn't exactly on the same levels. There was a slight contraction in benefits, but these were the contraction was minor, worth 3 or 4 million euros, and therefore it doesn't have a major impact on margins. It's only worth a couple million euros. Then you had a question on the 9.3 million euro impact. Within that figure, 2.5 million depend from the PUN price, which obviously refer to the PUN performance in the second half of the year, which could be reduced if the price were to go up in the coming months, since these are in delivery at a variable price. Everything else, the other 7 million euros are connected to the CV price dynamics, to the expiry of the CIP6 incentives and the expiry of green certificates on the Ferrara waste energy plant from 60 to 100%, which means that in H2, we will be seeing this again. Plus, we'll also have the final expiry of the CIP6 incentives on the Molise waste energy plant, which will bring about a couple million euro burden on the overall results in H2, which is something that we already took into account in our budget forecasts. It was something that had been forecasted as far as its impact is concerned. Your final question was on debt. 2.65 billion euros, which is the level posted last year, a level which pretty much reflects the dynamic we expect. Obviously, without taking into account the M&A transaction, were we to complete one of these transactions by the end of the year with an important economic effect, this would have an impact on debt. Going below 2.65 billion to date, given our current profile, is unimaginable. Also because compared to last year, this year we expect to have a further 30 million euros to invest, which is an investment which goes into the RAB, which absorbs 30 to 35 million euros more compared to last year. Moving on to the guideline concerning EBITDA, last time we said that we want to post at least to the same EBITDA level we had last year, which is where we stand, plus or give or take 1 or 2 million euros. That's the figure. But we had also said, as you can see from the H1 results, that as far as the bottom line is concerned, things are going considerably better compared to last year. Just a very short follow-up, if I may. Can you give us the EBITDA breakdown for gas sales and electricity and power generation? You mean compared to the total? Can you give us a breakdown for these two components in the energy sector? As far as gas supply is concerned, it's 75 to 80 million euros, whereas power gen is worth some 10 million. The The next question is by Dario Caradori, Goldman Sachs. I also have a few questions for you, beginning with M&A. As far as the time frame is concerned, you mentioned that nothing much happened over the past 12 to 18 months. You only had some minor transactions. And I was wondering why it is that you can now announce five transactions in the coming 12 months. Are there any regulatory, political, or economic reasons behind these transactions happening at the same time? And can you give us some further details on the business profile of these companies? Generally speaking, is the business profile of these companies similar to yours in terms of their business mix? As a way of understanding whether or not the synergy potential is in line with Terra's track record in obtaining synergies through acquisitions or mergers. And then just two final quick questions on your figures. Do you think your tax rate is sustainable for the full year? And I was looking at the cost of debt, 3.7%. The incremental cost of debt on the market is a lot lower currently. Do you think there is a potential for any refinancing operation in the coming quarters? As far as M&A is concerned, let me see if I can explain this once again. We don't want to boast or give you major figures all of a sudden. This is in line with our track record. Also, in terms of the types of transaction, it's in line with the business plan that you're familiar with, both in terms of where these transactions are located, and whenever they are acquisitions, they are located in the liberalized market, namely energy customers and waste plants, waste assets. This is one side. The other side refers to our attempt to broaden our perimeter through integrations by mergers, something that we have completed time and time again in the past. And you're right, we did slow down in recent months as we waited to understand how things would evolve. And all major players, in fact, had expectations in terms of how the regulatory framework would be reorganized, because we felt that with greater regulatory clarity, we could have more availability for these types of transactions. And although, as Mr. Renier was mentioning, we still don't have a perfectly clear view on the new regulation. But perhaps the fact that the context is a little bit more transparent, or the fact that we can interpret the context a little bit more, perhaps this new context has brought about more opportunities compared to 2 years ago. But this isn't anything unexpected. It isn't anything mad. Had you believed the figures we mentioned in the business plan, you would have had a clear idea of the targets that we expect to be able to obtain in the upcoming months, things we've been working on over the past 18 months. And in the past, we mentioned that we were working to look for interesting targets, the more interesting ones, the ones I mentioned. And we were certain that interesting opportunities would have emerged, which is where we currently stand. And as far as your request for further clarifications from the industrial standpoint, out of the five opportunities I mentioned, there is one which is especially innovative in the waste sector. And again, within these five opportunities, it is also the one with a greater element of novelty and which requires a larger financial investment. These are the elements which make up a mix in our portfolio, and in addition to our portfolio, which is in line with our multi-utility portfolio. We have no intention of going beyond our traditional sectors. We have no intention of going beyond our reference territories, which is what we also said to our board of directors, because today we had a number of elements to be more specific in terms of our business plan forecasts. So this is a state of the art, and what I would ask of you is to trust us. These are things that we'll be able to complete in due time and with the utmost transparency, as you can appreciate by the way in which we explain our policies. As far as the tax rate is concerned, we had given you a guidance between 36.5 and 37%, which is what we confirm vis-a-vis June and the end of the year. There is a certain progressive element as far as the EDAP tax is concerned. That's the range we're looking at. As far as any refinancing opportunities are concerned, we constantly look to the market for any possible opportunities. We are studying two possibilities. One concerning liability management operations for our bonds, and for the time being, we don't feel the time is right. But towards the end of the year or early next year, and by reducing maturity, perhaps conditions may be more feasible for this type of a transaction. But unless we have objective conditions, we will continue to study the market to look into performing these transactions in the best possible way. Just a follow-up question on M&A. To date, is there any reason to believe that the synergy potential in these transactions, in principle, is it reasonable to presume that the synergy potential is in line with Hera's traditional ability to obtain synergies from M&A? It would certainly be safe to say what you mentioned. If history has a value in terms of determining what will happen in the future, especially as far as mergers are concerned, our benchmark is to obtain synergies worth 20 to 25% of the target company's EBITDA. Over a period of time equal to at least 4 years. And therefore, there's no reason why we shouldn't think that these opportunities should pose the same. But I don't think it would be safe for me to say much more than that. For any questions you may have, press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question is by Meristonin Bankaimi. A very quick question for you on M&A transactions and on the financial flexibility you have for any debt transactions. Do you have a maximum target, considering the fact that at your end, at 2.65 billion euro debt, you would have to comply with certain figures. I think that we can manage a flexibility between 100 and 150 million euros. For any further questions, press star followed by one on your telephone. Mr. Tommaso Di Vignano, there is a follow-up question by Stefano Gamberini, Equita Fin. Just a very quick follow-up question on my previous one. 150 million euros on an further EBITDA worth 100 million euros means that most of these transactions in the upcoming 9 months will happen through share swaps. Because otherwise you would go well beyond the 100 to 150 million euro financial flexibility you mentioned. Let me clarify. The question was what cash flexibility we have vis-a-vis an EBIT like the one we had last year. And if we want to stay at a 3.1 times ratio, we can go up to 150 million euros. As I said earlier, three of these transactions will obviously have to happen through a share swap. And I have to look at a normalized figures over a 12-month period. If we all obviously have a transaction in the middle of the year, and if we only post a 6 months EBITDA, with part of the debt, the index can move a little bit, but it depends on the circumstances. I interpreted the question in terms of the cash financial flexibility you have equal to this year's EBITDA, and I said 100 to 150 million euros, which is what we feel we can use currently as cash proceeds in terms of possible cash acquisitions. There are no further questions, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Enjoy your holidays, and we will be enjoying them as well. There will be no negotiations in the coming weeks. Thank you.